Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 194 of this great podcast we call CJ Evolution. Patrick here, host and creator of the show. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are at, thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women who put on a uniform. Maybe you don't put on a uniform. Maybe you're just working in the criminal justice field. Thank you for what you do in a very difficult environment. You have much support. We are so excited to be partnered with Four Sigmatic, a great company that offers a variety of products, most notably their mushroom coffee. Trust me, you will love it. It is loaded with all the natural good things that you need in your body to keep you alert, to keep you focused, and gives you that energy you need to tackle the day. And it's all natural, folks. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you'll see information about Four Sigmatic there. You can also check out the show notes. There's going to be a promo code that if you follow that link to the Four Sigmatic website, you'll get 10% on all your purchases. On to the show. You know, we talk a lot about inspiration, motivation, just tackling the world. My next guest, Jason Schechterle, he had one goal in mind when he was growing up, and that was to be a Phoenix police officer. He was inspired by so many people in his life. After serving 4 years in the Air Force, Jason achieved his goal to work the streets of Phoenix as a rookie police officer, and then a tragic turn when he was on duty. He's going to talk about that. He's an amazing gentleman who has survived amazing odds. You're going to love this guy, Jason Schechterle.
Thank you.
Well, thank you being on the show, sir. Can you fill little gaps in that bio that I just gave of you? I'm sorry.
Sure. I served in the Air Force after graduating high school and had in the back of my mind wanted to be Phoenix police officer. I was born and raised here, and you know, life can change on us pretty quick. I got married and had a couple of kids, and after I got out of the military, and then when I was 26 years old, we had an officer here named Mark Atkinson, was shot and killed in the line of duty on March 26th of 1999, and it was my moment of clarity. It was my calling. Mm-hmm. And I went right away and applied, got hired, started the academy in September of 1999. It was first graduating class of 2000, and hit the streets as a pretty excited rookie police officer. Mm-hmm.
Now, you had a terrible tragedy when you were on duty. Can you talk about that, sir?
Yes, I did my year on probation and then switched to an afternoon squad life. As many people understand, was just as good as it could be, living my dream, loving my job. And ironically, on March 26, 2001, 2 years to the day after Mark Atkinson was killed, I was supposed to work a 3 p.m. to 1 a.m. shift, and pretty routine, quiet day. Toward the end of the shift, about 11:30 p.m. that night, I answered up for a call that wasn't in my area, really had no business answering up for it, but we had a lot of busy officers at the time, and I was responding code 3 to a dead body call, and stopped briefly at a red light where just about 5 minutes east of downtown Phoenix, where the intersection of one of our freeways is. And my patrol car was struck from behind just before I could clear the intersection, and then struck from behind by a taxi. And the driver was suffering an epileptic seizure at the time, and he was doing, according to our investigators, 115 miles an hour when he ran into me. I was driving a Crown Vic, and back then, you know, a lot of people didn't know about it because it was dotted throughout the country, but the Crown Vic was very susceptible to rear-end fuel-fed fires. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time, 12 officers had burned to death. Now there's 33 that I know of. But anyway, that's another story. My car burst into flames. Of course, I was knocked unconscious at that speed. And as a miracle would have it, there was a fire truck in the intersection, witnessed the crash. And they were able to go to work for me, got me out of the car in about 90 seconds. And another miracle, I was 2.5 miles away from one of the best burn centers in the country. Mm. And they got me down there in less than 8 minutes. It was a pretty amazing set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the cab driver, Jace?
The cab driver survived, and he also had a passenger in the backseat of his car who was ejected out of the windshield. And another bit of irony, which I always love, and for all the law enforcement out there listening, they'll get a kick out of this. The passenger was still wearing Sheriff Joe Arpaio's jail outfit. He had just gotten released from jail, and he called a cab to get a ride home. And then they run into a cop. And listen, I don't care how bad my accident was. That does give me a little bit of a chuckle. But he survived. The cab driver, he was having a seizure, but it was proven in the investigation he had caused four other accidents prior to mine. He lied on his MVD applications about not having a medical condition. He did not take his medication. So he ended up being charged with ag assault against the PO, ag assault against his passenger, and he ended up with 12 and a half years for me, 7 years for his passenger. They ran concurrently. He did 10 years in prison and was released in 2011.
We are so happy you survived that, Jason, and thank you for your service, not only as a police officer, but your military service. What did you do in the military, Jason?
I was security police. I joined the Air Force. All the men in my family had served in the military, either the Air Force or the Army. And I was a little bit naive when I was 18, joined the Air Force, thinking, oh, you know, I think I want to be a cop in Phoenix. I'll be a cop in the Air Force. And I'm sure the recruiter talking to me got a big kick out of that, because being a cop in the Air Force, there's two kinds. And I didn't get the law enforcement side. I got the security police side, and found my very warm-weathered Phoenix body up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, guarding airplanes.
Quite a change from Phoenix to...
Yeah, I think my first 2 weeks there, I was like, yeah, I'm going to live in Phoenix the rest of my life, I'm pretty sure.
Now, how do you feel today, Jason? You sound amazing. I mean, how are you doing today? How do you feel?
You know, I feel amazing. I just had my 17th anniversary, and...
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, I deal with a lot of them. The injuries were pretty bad. They were 43% burns, mostly to my neck, head, and face. Lost my entire appearance, mm-hmm. and have had 56 surgeries. My eyesight is incredibly delicate, and it's starting to fade a little bit. But over the years, you know, I have an incredible wife who stuck by me. And then we had two kids at the time, a daughter and a son. And it's so easy to find something to live for, something mm-hmm. bigger than yourself. And then we had a child after the accident who's now 15. And, you know, I always kind of have a goal, whatever room you're in, whatever briefing you're in, whatever call you go on, anything in life, your goal should be to leave it better than you found it. And mm-hmm. I look at my kids and I think I'm going to leave this world better than I found it. And I wouldn't miss any day of them growing up. So I've always been able to focus on the positives. I lost half my fingers to amputation, was able to learn how to shoot a gun again, returned to work, ended up being a homicide detective, which was a incredible honor and goal of mine. And just the experiences that I had working in that environment, again, something much more bigger than myself, and to have the memories of that, to get back to playing golf again, mm-hmm. and to actually play it well. And then today I'm a public speaker. I travel all over the country sharing my story. I mean, next week I'm doing the FBI National Academy, oh. and then I'm off to the Panhandle of Florida. Then I'm off to Cleveland. It's just life is so, so good. That it's almost impossible to find the negatives in it. Didn't work out the way I planned originally, but it doesn't always for most of us.
But your attitude, Jason, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is amazing. It is so inspiring. It's infectious. How did you always have this can-do attitude? Because, I mean, I it just amazes me that you know, with what you've been through, you know, some people probably, you know, it just amazes me that you've gone through all that you have, and you have that positive attitude. Did you always have this strong will or this strong attitude about you?
You know, I wish I could say yes to that, but here's the thing. when I had my accident, I was 28 years old. Everything that I had tried to achieve, I accomplished. My parents were healthy and happily married. All four of my grandparents were alive and married. 28 years on this earth, I knew nothing about adversity. I'd never even suffered a death in my family. Mm-hmm. Just unbelievable. So when I look back, I think, man, you were the least prepared person in the world. But I spent 2.5 months in a coma. And when I woke up, aside from the reality of the accident and the road ahead, there were a few things that really stuck out. Number one, my wife was there, and whatever she had gone through, and and taking care of our kids and wanting me home and take care of me. My friends were there, the entire police department. I consider myself very fortunate that this happened to me in the line of duty with that brotherhood, that kind of support. I had a foundation under me at 28 years old that I don't think I could have failed this. So I'd like to say that my attitude was always like this, but I really give all the credit to my family and my friends and law enforcement, and then the things that I've gotten to do over the years and how my life has evolved in such a positive way that it just continues to add to my positivity. And I'm still a young man. I'm only 45 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of life to live. And, I deal with adversity just like everybody else. I've been married over 20 years. My kids, my dad just passed away, ironically, last year on the anniversary of my accident. Oh, March 26th keeps popping up in a bad way. But for the most part, it's easier to be happy and positive. It takes effort to be miserable, and I just don't believe in that.
That's amazing. It's just amazing that positive attitude. I wish more people, and you know that in law enforcement, you saw it, Jason, in your career. Wish more people would have your attitude. Yes. What are some of the things that keep you strong? I mean, you obviously family, children. What are some other things that keep you strong, keep you going?
Definitely family and faith, and again, finding purposes. I hear people say a lot, it's hard to stay motivated. It's hard to stay inspired. It doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. So we take showers every day. And I know that's a simplistic,
it's a good analogy.
I can find, if I'm even feeling myself going on the spectrum of emotions, and you're going to feel things. You don't get to just pick love and joy and laughter and enthusiasm. We are made to feel fear and anxiety, and there's days you're going to cry, there's days you're going to be angry. Mm-hmm. You have to learn to embrace those also if you're going to get over them, because if you stay focused on your setbacks, which we all have, and you can't compare them, nobody should look at me and go, wow, my problems are less. Look at what that guy looks like, look what he's been through. That's perspective is great, but you have to embrace whatever you're going through and then try to stay motivated. I don't care if I'm listening to my favorite song. I don't care if my Arizona Diamondbacks are winning a game. I'm out in the beautiful sunshine playing golf, see a friendly face I haven't seen in a while. Inspiration is all around us. All you got to do is look for it, and whatever moves you on that day, on that hour, you go in that direction. And I've learned that in the last 17 years with a lot of clarity, and I continue to do that to this day.
Now, I always ask guests, you're very successful. You're out there. You're motivating people. You had a successful career. What is your morning routine, Jason? I mean, I've found that a lot of successful people, they always have a routine that they stick to. Some of them not, but a lot of them do, whether it's meditation, whether it's, yoga, or they just spend time journaling in the morning. What is yours?
My morning routine is when I'm in town and not out doing my public speaking, I get up early. I still have the great privilege of driving my youngest son to school, which sadly will come to an end next year when he gets his license. And that's going to be tough because I already have two other kids off to college. But I help my wife's a school teacher, fourth grade teacher, and I help her get off to school. And then once I get home, I usually look at, you know, my calendar. And again, what good is coming up? My son's got a baseball game today. I've got a speech in Oakland next week, and I'm going to prepare for that a little bit. I go work out at the gym. I just, my days kind of, I let them take me where they're going to take me. And the routine ends up being just the beauty of how a day evolves for me.
Now, when you talk to people, students, because I know you teach a little bit.
Yes.
What do you tell them? What do you tell the students about, you know, overcoming adversity? Because it seems like, you know, it's just a different, you know, you've the millennial generation, and I think it's going to be hard for some of them with adversity. How do you teach them or get it through to them about you need to embrace that adversity, and this is how you overcome it? Give some examples. What do you tell them?
Are you referring mostly when I teach? It's at the academy. Those students.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll tell you the recruits, and I do. I go down there to every class. I teach victimology, and then I'll spend a couple of hours on my story. Which when I travel the country and do keynote speeches, you know, I talk for 30 to 45 minutes. The recruits get a very detailed, graphic version of my story, but then they also get a little more in your face because being a police officer is the most honorable profession in the world to me, and it's still something that I care deeply about and I take very serious. And the way the world is now in law enforcement, and like you refer to, a lot of these younger guys coming out, I like to, you know, explain to them how to conduct themselves, mm-hmm. you know, with integrity and with honor. Remember, most importantly, why are you even sitting in this chair right now? Mm-hmm. Because I see cops all the time, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Sometimes they'll forget why they even took this job, and they get cynical, or they let the environment change them. And you can't do that. You got to change the environment. Mm-hmm. And so I love, it's my favorite speech because they're sponges and they're soaking it up. But to be able to tell them that the adversity that could come and how life can change. And then I'll bring up my best friend from who was in the academy with me is now the lieutenant in charge of our academy. Mm-hmm. So I'll bring him up there and to explain to them, hey, 18 years ago, me and him were sitting right there in these seats, wearing those same clothes and having no idea what was coming. And here's what it is. Sometimes you are injured in line of duty. Sometimes you rise up through the ranks, but life is what you make it individually. And so that's what I try to stick to with them, is just not to take this job for granted, and certainly do not disrespect the badge that so many people around this country are wearing right now.
Yeah. And surrounding themselves with the right people, the right influences. Because, you know, we talked about it, Jason, is, you know, there's some bad cops out there, and you know, I mean, you want to put them with the best FTOs, and you want to put them with you want to have them surrounded by the influences, not the negative people. We've got enough negativity out there, but we don't need it within our ranks. And I think it's getting a little better, but I'd like to see more of it, you know. I tell students when I teach, and I tell young cops, is, you know, you need to have a hobby too outside of law enforcement. You know, you need to do something outside of law enforcement. You just can't let it consume you all the time.
That's for sure.
Can you talk about your book, sir?
Yes. The book, I'm very proud of it. It took me 8 years and 3 different authors to get this right. And I never imagined my story being put on paper. Turns out, you know, now, again, I'm very proud of it, and it's a great legacy for my kids. It's called Burning Shield, mm-hmm. and it's available on Amazon. And the guy who wrote it, he really captured my voice, and he took the time to sit down with my wife, my kids, the doctors, the firefighters, anybody mm-hmm. who'd been embedded with my survival and my story, and he got all the perspectives mm-hmm. and told it through their eyes. So, you know, I really like it. And Burning Shield is, of course, you got to do the cliche. Everybody knows me as a retired cop. And it's, when you look at me, it's very obvious mm-hmm. what my story is about suffering severe burns. But the book is definitely going to be a good legacy. And it's doing okay. It's sold about 5,000 copies so far. And it's a big part of why I get to go out and do the speeches that I do.
Now, what are your plans for the future, Jason? Another book on the horizon, or what?
No, I don't think so. The speaking is getting busier and busier. I do between 60 and 75 a year. Unfortunately, the smallest crowd that I speak to is law enforcement. And I don't know if it's because, you know, law enforcement is, they're so type A, maybe sometimes they don't want to sit through these kind of things. But also a lot of departments can't afford the, you know, like my travel fees and speaking fees and, and things like that. So I'd like to increase speaking to cops. I'd like to continue speaking as long as I can and being the best father that I can, staying healthy. I take care of my mom now since my dad has passed away. Mm-hmm. Just letting life take me where it needs to go.
Well, see, I think we need in law enforcement, we need more people like you out there, Jason, that bring such an amazing attitude of positivity. You're very obviously inspiring. You're motivating. We need that in law enforcement. We need more of it. You know, I mean, that's, I don't know if you've heard of Kevin Gilmartin, probably.
Of course.
He talks about emotional wellness. And
excellent speaker.
And you, you're talking about some of the things he talks about having that positive attitude, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people. And I think it's very much needed in law enforcement. I hope all of us see more of it in the future. So
I think I would love it.
If people want to reach out to you, sir, how do they find you?
I have a website, which is burningshield.com, and the email on there, which is jason@burningshield.com, just goes straight to me and my phone. I'm the only one who gets it. I'm the only one who books my speaking engagements. And anytime a cop reaches out, especially somebody who has suffered a line of duty injury or whatever, I'm happy to share my personal information on email. It's pretty easy to get a hold of me.
Well, Jason, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show. If we can ever do anything for you, let us know. We wish you much success in the future, sir. And like we said, I said off the air, if you're ever in Colorado, you know, look me up. I'd love to get with you, buy you some coffee. Maybe, hey, you can come out here and play some golf, Jason. There you go.
That would be great. I appreciate you having me on the show, sir. It really means a lot to me.
All right, Jason. You take care of yourself, sir.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.